This hour, the Jason Rand Show is brought to you by You Build It. There's a lot of news happening all around the world and right here at home, so let's find out what's trending.
What's trending at home?
I want to talk about the primary today, because it's impacting every single person who's listening to my voice right now, assuming you live in the state of Washington. Tonight's election, including in places that you don't even like to frequent, is going to impact you. Because we are at a point where we're starting to really, really lose Washington State. And I don't mean this ideologically. I mean this from what we stand for and what we want to stand for as just citizens of our communities. We've been talking about for the last, 6 months now? The bad policies of Seattle spread. They impact you in Lake Stevens. They will hit you in Enumclaw, even though you think you can escape it. They're going to impact you in Everett and Mukilteo. They're going to reach you in Bellingham. They're going to smack you in the face in Snoqualmie. Bad policies of Seattle spread, and we've seen them spread as it relates to homelessness. Right now, this election is about homelessness. It's not about a fire department levy in Thurston County. This is not an election about schools in Marysville or parks in Bellevue. This election right now is about homelessness. And homelessness touches every single neighborhood. But Seattle leads the way in how they deal with homelessness, and they have been very, very bad at dealing with homelessness. They have made it worse. King County, in fact, has made homelessness worse. They had a 10-year plan to end homelessness. At the end of those 10 years, homelessness got worse. They declared a homeless emergency in Seattle and in King County. Since then, homelessness has gotten worse. They try to trick you and say that their policies are working. Look at the data. And then you look at the data and you realize, oh, you're literally quadruple counting one person who succeeds in a program, and you're pretending that that means four homeless people are off the street. And by off the street, you literally still just mean in short-term housing. And by short-term housing, you say that because you're not really following them into long-term housing. And once they do get into long-term housing, you don't follow up with them 6 months later to make sure they're still off the streets. This approach to dealing with homelessness has impacted everybody. Now, some communities like Snohomish County, they've decided to step up and say, oh, we are not doing it the Seattle way. Oh, no. We're giving officers some leverage here. We're giving them the tools that they need to get people off of the streets. And they are seeing in Marysville, for example, thanks in large part to Mayor John Nehring and his leadership, they are seeing success getting people off the streets because the cops there are equipped with a social worker, so they can say very clearly to the person who's living out on the street breaking the law, if you stay here, we will arrest you. Now, here's the good news. We don't have to arrest you. In fact, I'm going to give you over to this resource who's going to help put you in a program that you need. You say no to them, you're saying yes to jail. That approach actually works. Carrot and stick. That's not what Seattle does. Seattle does half of that. And even then, they don't get to pursue the actual policies that are going to get people off the street. And then you look in Olympia. Unfortunately, they got involved way too late because they took the Seattle approach. And all of a sudden, you're seeing encampments pop out all over the place. You see parks getting taken over. You see sidewalks filled with human waste and used needles and human bodies just laying there. This election can start to change all that. This election ends at 8 o'clock tonight. You have 3 hours still, less than 3 hours, to make sure you get your ballot into a drop box. To make sure those of you who are voting in Everett or Marysville for Snohomish County Council position number 2, you have time to vote now for Anna Rohrbaugh, if you haven't. Because she's someone who is a strong conservative who's going to fight for what's right to help on the homelessness front. You have time still to vote for Todd Welch, re-elect him to the Lake Stevens City Council. You have time to make sure Jennifer Robertson stays in office in Bellevue City Council. And you have time, more importantly, to boot out the people who have decided that they're going to follow ideology instead of your will at the expense of the soul of this entire region. Saul Spady talks about the soul of Seattle is really on the line, but it's more than that, I think. I think it's the soul of this entire region. But yes, it all starts at the epicenter of this madness of Seattle. In District number 1, you've got Lisa Herbold, who is the incumbent, who won last time by just 36 votes. 36 votes put her in office. And what she's been doing behind the scenes is very simple. She's been trying to stall the navigation team, which is the SPD and the Human Services Department's answer to cleaning up some of these encampments. She doesn't want them cleaned up. She's running up against Brendan Colding and Phil Tavel. Either of them would be much better of a choice than Lisa Herbold. Lisa Herbold is the same of what we've been seeing over the course of the last several years. If you're okay with that, okay, I guess you can go ahead and support her. But if not, you better make sure you pick up that phone call, that phone, and call a friend or a family member who lives in West Seattle, if you do not, to encourage them to vote. You've got in District number 2, Ari Hoffman, who was on the show last hour. He's a conservative. He's a business owner. He is a father. He's someone who cares deeply about his community, and he's decided to step up, which is not something he ever thought he would do, but he decided to step up because he wanted to take back his city. Make sure if you know anyone who lives in the Central District or the International District to vote. They have until 8 o'clock to turn in their ballot. If you live in District number 3, Shama Sawantown, she's going to win tonight this primary. But the question is, who's she going to go up against? You have someone like Egan O'Ryan, who is a business person, who cares deeply about his community, who's running. If you know anyone who's living in Capitol Hill and that area, they need to vote Egan O'Ryan. If you live in District number 4, which is, as it so happens, is the district we are in right now. Right now, we are in District number 4. There's someone named Sean Scott who's running. Hardcore socialist. Hardcore socialist. Crazy socialist. There's Emily Myers. Crazy socialist. If you know anyone in Eastlake, if you know anyone in Greenwood, make sure they know to vote for Alex Peterson, who's running. In District number 5, Ann Davison Sattler is running against the incumbent. Ann Davison Sattler cares about her community. She's someone who's actually meeting people, talking to them. Deborah Juarez, the incumbent, does not do that. Ann Davison Sattler does. She needs your vote. She deserves your vote. District number 6, Sergio Garcia, been on the show many, many times. This is a cop who has decided to step up because he knows how dangerous this council is getting as it relates to officers. District number 7, which is where I live. Oh, we got a lot of crazies running. Daniela Ng, Michael George, least crazy. I really like Daniela Ng. That's who I voted for. I'm okay with Michael George as well. Normally, I would say Naveed Jamali, but he's kind of not really running this race. You need to vote. Whether you live in Squim or Spanaway, Sumner, I'm just going with S cities at this point. Aberdeen, how about that? Even though we're not heard in Aberdeen, you need to vote. And more importantly, you need to make sure that your friends and family members vote. If you live in Bellevue, make sure you're asking your neighbors if they voted. You've got until 8 o'clock. If you live in Northgate, make sure you're telling your friends to vote for Ann Sattler. It is important for you to vote and take back this region, because if we don't show some good support tonight, all the momentum that we have worked for, all of the momentum that we have built, is going to be for naught. It is not easy at all to sustain momentum as much as we have since the Amazon head tax debacle. It's not easy at all to sustain that momentum. If we do not have a good showing tonight, if we don't get the right people in the right positions, the momentum dies, and with it, this entire region. Make sure you vote. Make sure you get to that drop box. I had a friend today who realized, oh my God, I didn't get my ballot. He figured it out. He went on to the King County for Him website and was able to connect with someone who you can vote right now, even if you don't have your ballot, if you do it in person. All the information is online. 1-800-465-8770 if you want to send me a text on the None Better Tax Resolution hotline. 1-800-465-8770. Send me your text messages. But in fact, before you do that, the only text message I want to hear from you right now is if you voted. Tell me your name. Tell me what city you're in. Tell me you voted. Tell me why you voted. Tell me who you voted for. We'll give you a shout out throughout the show. Don't tell me you didn't vote because you don't want to get me shaming you. 1-800-465-8770. Keep those text messages coming. 1-800-465-8770. 1-800-465-8770. We got a text from the 253 from Pablo. Don't forget the suburbs. We're dealing with Seattle bad policies trickling down to us. It motivated my run for city council. Position 4, open seat. Make sure you're voting Pablo Monroy. 1-800-465-8770. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? Media bias.
Last night on Twitter, Massacre Mitch McConnell was a hashtag trend with a lot of blue check marks using it to go after the senator from Kentucky, despite the fact that just hours earlier they were talking about how hateful rhetoric leads to violence. In fact, one CNN analyst caught my attention. It also caught the attention of Julio Rosas. He is our friend. He's with a reporter with the DC Examiner, and he joins me now. Julio, thank you so much for coming on.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So take us through exactly what happened yesterday, because as I saw, it was pretty disturbing.
Yes. So the hashtag was hashtag Massacre Moscow Mitch, which Moscow Mitch has been a recent talking point from Democrats, saying that Mitch McConnell is a Russian asset. And the massacre added on the front part is very recent. And CNN contributor Wajid Ali, he expressed happiness that that hashtag was trending. And he said some hope for America. And a few hours later, some protesters who were outside McConnell's home in Kentucky, they were Facebook Live-ing themselves, and one of them can be heard saying that she wishes somebody would stab the mother effer in the heart. And so it's a very, not saying that his tweet is what caused her to say that, but there is, with the recent discussions about rhetoric and the cause and effect with the El Paso shooter and Trump, it seems like, you know, that you would think that Democrats would be more careful with their words when it comes to talking about Republicans.
Exactly. I mean, the whole argument on CNN for the last couple of days and throughout the weekend was about rhetoric directly inspiring this kind of violence. Not that it might contribute to violence of someone who maybe is a little mentally disturbed and this pushes them in that direction, but very clear cut. The president is inspiring this. They, of course, decided recently not to talk about the Dayton shooter, since it's looking more and more like he was a far-left Antifa supporter. But now they're saying, essentially, they're not going to follow by their own rules that they've set up about what kind of conduct leads to this kind of violence.
Right, right, exactly. And as you've said, that a lot of the discussions that have been going on with the media and the Democratic presidential candidates is they are blaming Trump because of the shooter's manifesto in El Paso. Now, you have to keep in mind that according to that same manifesto, the shooter did say that he hated Hispanics way before Trump ever started his campaign. That's something that I don't think is getting enough attention about. But right, this whole weekend and this whole past week has been, pointing fingers when it comes to Trump's rhetoric.
So how has Wajahat Ali responded to all of this? Because I know that he did today take down his tweet.
Yes. So he deleted it. He then did a follow-up tweet saying that verified right-wing trolls were tweeting about it in bad faith, and he said, you know, because it's to distract from gun control, white supremacy, and things of that nature. And you know, I did tweet about it, and it wasn't necessarily in bad faith. It wasn't in bad faith. It's just pointing out that, you know, just the night before he, because if you can imagine a Fox News contributor saying, hashtag Massacre Obama.
Yeah, I don't know how his comment and that hashtag, again, Massacre Moscow Mitch is trending, I still have faith in America. How is that in good faith? What exactly does that even mean?
Right. And so the reactions would probably be a little bit different if there was a hashtag from a Fox News contributor that said hashtag, you know, jihad, massacre jihad Obama or something like that. I think the reactions would be very different.
It's maddening. Has CNN weighed in on this yet at all?
I have not reached out to CNN.
Other than booking him on CNN to talk about the dangers of rhetoric.
I haven't reached out to CNN about that.
It's absolutely ridiculous. Julio Rosas is a reporter with the Washington Examiner. Thank you so much for stopping by. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you.
You're listening to the Jason Rand Show. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? Back the blue.
We back the blue on this show because we realize how difficult a job it is to go out into your community with the intent of helping people, saving people from bad guys, all while activists on Twitter shame you for everything that you do. And in Kent last night, an officer put their lives on the line. This officer shot a suspect twice after pulling this guy over in his car. Happened just after midnight near the Kent station. And the media is pointing out that the suspect who was shot is 15 years old. Now, I'm not sure that that matters in this case. This 15-year-old kid was driving with an expired license plate tab, so he gets pulled over. The officer goes up to the guy's car, notices he has a weapon in the car. He appeared to reach for the weapon, and so the cop decided that he actually wanted to go home safely at the end of his shift. So the cop shot him twice. Once in the arm, once in the leg. He's going to be fine. Now, this 15-year-old kid, extensive criminal history, including prior convictions for stealing a gun, prior convictions for a robbery, and an assault.
I feel pretty safe because there is usually the transit police. They walk through here quite a bit.
That's a guy who takes the bus at Kent Station on a regular basis, and he feels safe because of the Kent PD, because of the work the men and the women do of the Kent PD every single day. Whenever there is a shooting like this, especially when it's a 15-year-old kid who gets shot, there are people online who immediately jump to how quick officers are to use their weapons. And they take those positions as if they've ever been in a similar scenario in which their life is on the line, where they have to protect themselves and other people in the community. They very proudly say, they would never do something like that. They go after cops on a regular basis. They go after cops. They hate on cops as if it was a sport. And so, as will be the case, whenever this happens, even though we hope that this never happens, but when it does happen, then an officer needs to use a weapon to protect themselves from dangers, to protect you guys who live in these communities from dangers. We're going to come on the show and we're going to back them each and every time. There isn't a single officer who wants to use his or her weapon when they're out in the field. Not a single one. They don't put on that uniform each and every day with the intent of shooting someone or killing someone. Again, in this case, he's not going to die. He's going to live. These officers never want to be put in a position where they have to use their weapon, because when they have to use their weapon, it means they're fighting for themselves and the people around them. Literal life and death. And so on this show, we give the benefit of the doubt to the cop. And I am proud to stand on the side of officers. Absolutely proud of that. Because in this region, we have a lot of people who are very quick to go after cops. We have a lot of people who are very quick to demonize officers. They don't need that. So on behalf of everybody here on the Jason Rand Show, whether they're listening in Lake Stevens or Bonnie Lake or Mukilteo, we back the cops. One more quick thing before we take a break and check on the traffic. If you text the keyword donate to 1-800-465-8770, I'm going to send you a link so you can purchase on behalf of the SPD Honor Guard. They're having a fundraiser right now. They're selling glassy babies. You know what glassy babies are, right?
Like fancy candles?
Yeah, well, it's the little tea candle in the little cup of glass with a little sketch on it.
Fancy candles, yeah.
Yeah, but it's not, the candle is not the glassy baby. The glass, the votive, I think they're called, the thing that you put the little baby candle in, is the glassy baby.
Fancy candle.
Okay, they are fancy. In fact, I bought the Peacekeeper. They're running very low on the three different glassy babies that they have Although I shouldn't have said I bought the Peacekeeper because I think it looks the best, but it's the cheapest one. And now people are going to think I'm, damn it. Now I'm going to have to buy the most expensive one to show my support. If you want to buy one of these glassy babies and help support the SPD Honor Guard, please text the keyword donate to 1-800-465-8770. I posted a link or photo of the one I bought on Twitter and on Facebook, and everyone was all like, where can I get one? And they weren't the link wasn't open to the public yet, but now it's open. They're running very, very, very low on these. In fact, the last day to purchase them is coming up. So text the keyword donate to 1-800-465-8770. I'll send you a link. You can go ahead and support the SPD. When we come back, we're going to get into more of what's on the line in this election. We'll be giving some shout-outs again. Send me your text. Tell me who you voted for, your name, what city you're in. I'll happily give you a shout-out and the candidate of your choice a shout-out. 1-800-465-8770. Welcome back to the Jason Rancho live in the Online Trading Academy studio. I've been asking you guys to send us your text messages at 1-800-465-8770. Tell me who you're voting for. Tell me your name. Tell me what city you're in. Tell me what position you're really jazzed about. We'll give shout-outs to the people you're supporting. David Carson in Redmond, city council member. He's trying to fend off liberals and a social justice warrior. So we got a text message from the 206 proudly saying they supported David. We got a number from a call from the 208, which actually I don't even know what the 208 is. I thought it was 206, but it's 208. Voting for Brendan Colding in District Number 1 for Seattle City Council. In West Seattle, 206 saying, yeah, Lisa Hairball needs to go. This is important stuff. This is incredibly important stuff because there's a lot on the line. Right now in Bonnie Lake, council position number 4, Pablo Monroy is running. He's a friend of the show. He's been at a Freedom Series. He was on the panel. This is a conservative who is running for an open position. So if you haven't yet voted in Bonnie Lake for the council, vote Pablo Monroy. Now, those of you who are wondering if it's a little bit too late, you've got until 8 o'clock to drop off your ballots. There are a ton of drop boxes available for you to drive to before 8 p.m. You have to get there before 8 p.m. Don't wait until 7:50 to try to figure out where it is you got to go. Do it right now. All you have to do is go on Google and type in Dropbox, ballots, and whatever county you're in, and you'll get a map. So for those of you who are in Kent and you still haven't voted for Zandria Michaud, and we got a couple text messages supporting her, there are two Dropbox locations in the city of Kent. The one that's the easiest to get to is the Justice Center. It is so incredibly important today to make sure you're voting. Josh Rivera in Tacoma voted for Frank Boykin and Dave Bryant for Port of Tacoma positions 3 and 5 because that person cares about his community. Darren and his wife, both from Renton, they voted last weekend. Armando for mayor. Jim for port commissioner. That's incredibly important because that person cares about their community. Greer in North Seattle voted for Ann Davison Sattler in District Number 5 for the Seattle City Council because, according to her, quote, she actually was walking my block on Sunday asking people if they voted. It was awesome seeing her. It's because Ann Sattler cares about her community. Corey from West Seattle voted for Brendan Colding. Corey says, time for a change. We can't let these activists go unchallenged. This is incredibly important. You need to step up. Ransom Burian voted for Lucy Krakowiak and Debbie Wagner. Keep those text messages coming throughout the rest of the show. I want to know that you voted. I want to give you a shout out. Text 1-800-465-8770. 1-800-465-8770. I'll give you a shout out. And I'll shame everybody who didn't yet vote. You've got until 8 o'clock. Figure out where to drop off your ballot. People right now are trying to figure out how they can use the shootings over the weekend to go after President Trump. And in a lot of ways, they're doing it in the most despicable way possible, including on MSNBC with Nicole Wallace. She actually said President Trump wants to exterminate Latinos. It takes a special kind of political hack to make a comment like that, and it turns out that special kind of political hack is Nicole Wallace.
Certainly, the last Republican president fought for, sought, and it's not ideal, but had 44% of
right.
Latino vote. It was so politically powerful inside the last Republican administration. President Obama used the power of the presidency mm-hmm. to try to pass comprehensive immigration reform with the Latino community, Latino leaders at the table. You now have a president, as you said, talking about exterminating
right.
Latinos.
No. He's not talking about exterminating Latinos, you degenerate, you despicable person. When you talk like that, you're actually inspiring violence. You talk about the rhetoric that we need to end. You're engaged in rhetoric. You're telling an incredible group of people that they're going to be exterminated by this president. What kind of person must you be to use that kind of language, all to make some cheap political point? Oh, you can also be like Mika Brzezinski over at MSNBC.
Isn't it okay to deduce that at this point, this is what he wants? He is inciting hatred, inciting violence, inciting racism. If he doesn't unequivocally call it off and say, this is wrong, and we stand together against this, and we are doing this, this, and this to help fight hate crime. I mean, this is a president who seems to want these things to happen. How else can this be explained?
I would ask someone like Mika Brzezinski, who makes money off of commentary like that, do you want to see this happen? Because you're certainly enjoying the biting analysis against the president, whom you loathe. Do you want this to happen? Do you want innocent people to be murdered, to be shot to death at a bar or at a Walmart or at a school? Because you guys take advantage of it in the media. You go wall-to-wall coverage. You search for voices who will say the most extreme things. And as a result, people will talk about you, tweet about you, email about you. Watch the clips posted on blogs. Watch your stupid network. Do you want people to die? Because you benefit from this. In fact, you directly make money from this. I would never level that kind of attack against you because I'm not a despicable human being like you are. I'm not the one who's trying to gain political power by, which is weird because also on MSNBC, if you're sensing a trend here, Stephanie Ruhle, who's the worst? She was talking with an analyst, Maria Teresa Kumar, and they were wondering if Beto O'Rourke could actually benefit from the mass shootings.
Maria, Beto has said he is running in the name of decency and democracy. As bad as this may sound, could this moment be a chance for Beto to gain some momentum?
I think so. I mean, when you look at who the president is most afraid of, you often hear within inner circles that Beto is the one that concerns him.
No one says Beto concerns anyone. You're not listening to anyone in inner circles, but I'm glad you guys are so clear, so crystal clear about what this is really about. Because what this is really about to you is how can people take advantage? How can people take advantage of the mass shooting? And part of taking advantage of the mass shooting is looking for literally anyone, but especially your political opponents, to blame specifically for what went on this weekend. Hogan Gidley is a spokesperson for the White House. He was on with Fox News anchor Melissa Francis, and he pointed out the hypocrisy in some of the coverage of what's going on.
And these Democrats have played politics from the word
go. But you don't think his rhetoric plays any part in the hatred or the violence or any of the back and forth? You don't think that the accusation is that the culture he foments at his rallies leads to this kind of violence? How do you respond to that?
That is absolutely ridiculous. We do not blame, nor do we even dream of blaming, Elizabeth Warren for the shooter in Ohio who wanted to vote for her. the supporter of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who carried out a terrorist attack trying to blow up a DHS ICE facility using her language of concentration camps.
Real quick,
the Bernie Sanders supporter who shot up conservatives on a baseball field. And we don't blame Barack Obama for the deaths of Dallas police officers.
But we blame Donald Trump because we don't like him. That's really what the media is saying. They didn't want him to win. They didn't expect him to win. They don't like the way he's treating them. And that part I actually understand. I understand why some members of the media don't like President Trump. I get it. But they've decided because of their hatred of him that they're going to treat him unlike any other president. Now, you can claim all you want that this is a different kind of president. We live in a time where we really need to push back. We live in a time where just this weekend, an Antifa-supporting loser dealing with mental illness, who showed all the signs of being a mass shooter, he murdered someone, and according to his Twitter feed, littered with pro-Antifa stuff, support of Elizabeth Warren. You're not having that conversation at the same time that you were having a very specific conversation about what happened in El Paso, because you can tie it to the president. Why are you treating these two shootings differently? Why are you not even talking about what we know about the shooter in Dayton? You're not talking about it because you don't like that narrative. You don't like having to be consistent, because you know if you're going to be consistent, you're not only going to have to talk about him and Elizabeth Warren, but really going to have to talk about yourself and the shameful language that you guys use. 1-800-465-8770. I want you to text me your name, what city you are living in or listening in, and who you voted for. Who do you want to give a shout out to? Because in the 206, we just got one for Ann Davison Sattler for Seattle City Council, District Number 5. They write, time for action on the homelessness issues. Let's enforce the law. It can be done. Look at Snohomish County. We have a 217 voting for Dio Bushwege. I know I mispronounced his name. I know him. I don't know how to say it. But he's running for City of Linwood Council, position number 4. So Dio gets a vote. 1-800-465-8770 is the Jason Rance Show. You're listening to the Jason Rancho live in the Online Trading Academy studio. I don't mean to be annoying on this message, but of all the days, I get to do this 2 days a year, which is constantly remind you, urge you, that you only have a few hours left. In fact, you have a little over 2 hours left. You have 2 hours and 12 minutes left to turn in your ballot if you have not yet voted. You have 2 hours and 12 minutes left to get that ballot filled out and dropped off at one of the many drop boxes open all across Washington State. And I've been asking you guys to text me in. We've got just a few minutes left, and I want to keep those text messages coming, because I think when we say your name and your city and who you voted for, you inspire that person who doesn't think their vote matters. To tell you that their vote matters, let me be clear about something. In West Seattle, Lisa Herbold won her last election by 36 votes. Your vote matters. So text me in your name, what city you're from, and who you voted for whatever position. Give that person a shout out, and I will give that person a shout out. Our phone number is 1-800-465-8770. That's 1-800-465-8770. Beth in Seattle said she voted for Ann Davison Sattler. Beth says we need smart solutions for the crises Seattle has. Beth is 100% correct. Jeff in View Ridge, which is very close to here, voted for Alex Peterson for Seattle City Council. It is incredibly, incredibly important for you to make sure your voice is heard. Because if you don't, we're going to lose this region. Not politically. We've already lost that in a lot of ways. Republicans, for example, are never going to win Seattle. But what we can do is put in smart people who will take on the issues that impact us all. Policing. Giving police the authority, the real authority, to actually arrest bad guys and then have them get charged. so that we don't have repeat offender after repeat offender after repeat offender committing acts of violence. We cannot allow for that. And it's happening in Seattle, which is why Tracy, in District Number 6, voted for Katie Martin. We have to attack the homeless issue head on, the way that John Nehring, who's running for re-election in Marysville as mayor, has been doing. And what I love from Beth telling us on the text line at 1-800-465-8770, she said, I was at the ballot box in Lake City at 2 o'clock today, and it was busy with people dropping off their ballots. Abby voted for Ann Davison Sattler because she wants crime to end in the city so that we have a leader who actually listens to people. Ann Davison Sattler is that person. Pablo Monroy in Bonnie Lake is that person. Xandria Michaud in Kent is that person. Todd Welch in Lake Stevens is that person. Ann Rohrbauer in Snohomish County is that person. Jennifer Robertson in Bellevue is that person. Sergio Garcia, Brendan Colding, Ari Hoffman. They are that person who will listen to you. I get text messages almost every single day from people who are sick and tired of not being listened to. And we've got momentum on our side, but we actually have to go out there and do that one final thing during this primary election and vote. And once we get our candidates in there, oh my gosh, you're going to feel a wave of momentum unlike what you've ever felt. And this transcends party politics. This is not about being Republican or Democrat. This is not about the D and the R or the S. This is about putting people in office who are going to listen to you, who are going to clean up our parks. So in Puyallup, we're not giving them to the homeless. This is about putting people in power who will prosecute crimes, like in Snohomish, because they decided to take the approach of King County and not actually go after the drug dealers. They've changed that because of pressure that you guys put on them. It's about putting people in power who are going to fix the transportation concerns that we all have, like Anna Rohrbauer will do if she's elected to the Snohomish County Council in Everett and Marysville. This is about maintaining a smart policy on development so cities don't grow so fast that they create a whole bunch of problems. That's why you vote for Russell Wieda, who's running for mayor in the city of Sultan. But more importantly, this is about making sure we keep out the crazy. Bellevue City Council Jennifer Robertson is running against a crazy person in James Bible. Seattle crazy. Ari Hoffman is running against a socialist in Seattle City Council District Number 2 who doesn't want to admit that she's a socialist because she knows that it's going to hurt. We got a text here from 206 who voted for council member Jared Neuenhaus. He's been on the show before many times. We're huge fans of his. This texter says, I urge all Bellevue residents to vote for Jennifer Robertson and Stephanie Walter for Bellevue City Council as well. Their opponents include someone who calls cops murderers and another who's on board a fuse in Seattle. Your vote matters. Vote for these impressive candidates. This race is so incredibly, incredibly important. Step up. Make sure your voice is heard. And make sure you listen tomorrow morning to the Saul Spady Show as he goes through all of the results as we have them. We're going to get a dump of votes tonight at 8 o'clock. You can get them at ktth.com. And then tomorrow we'll give you the analysis and we'll hear from some of the candidates who are fighting to fight for you. Thank you so much for tuning in. Up next, Ben Shapiro.